We're going to move now to our second message. Our second message in this series, Reasons to Believe. Last week we talked about how do we know that God exists. Today we're going to talk about the Bible. I want you to just to listen to this video and set the scene for what we're going to talk about today.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its stories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Pray it in. Read it through, live it out, and pass it on.
There is no doubt that the Bible is the most influential book that has ever been written, printed, read. Everyone agrees, whether they're Christian, non-Christian, believer, or non-believer, that the Bible has set the structure, the backbone of Western civilization, basically. Our laws, our thought processes are shaped from the Bible. Literature that is written, no matter where it's written, it is just filled with quotes from the Bible. Sayings that we say today, people don't realize, but many of them come from the Bible. The Bible has been so persuasive and invasive, I could put it that way, into our lives. The things that are spoken here by Morgan Freeman, if you recognized his voice, was talking about the power of this book, but going on just beyond its natural influence, but its spiritual influence. And it tells us it's the Word of God. It tells us about heaven. It tells us about hell. It tells us about sin. It tells us about Christ. It tells us about redemption. It's all there in the book. Now, the question is, people could acknowledge that and say, well, yes, I know it claims to do all the things. I know it's been influential, but how do we know the Bible is true? How do we know the Bible is true? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And just again, have some reasons. Reasons to believe that the Bible is exactly what it says it is. The Word of God. Now there is an insert in your bulletin. You can take it out. You can fill it in as we go this morning. Our key verse is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. By it we travel, by it we go, by it we see truth, we see light. All right, I have written down five things here that I will go over this morning that we believe that the Bible is true. Number one, we know the Bible is true because of its unique origin, structure, and nature. Its unique origin and structure, or nature, you could put as well. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is a collection of books, 66 books in here, written by 44 different authors who actually penned this. It was written over a period of 1,600 years. So it's been written over a vast period of time, 44 different authors. They came from different states of life, kings, peasants, philosophers, poets, fishermen, statesmen, scholars, doctors, businessmen are the vocation of people that have written the Bible. It was written in Asia, Europe, Africa. It was written in dungeons, palaces, in the wilderness, and while people traveled. It was written in different ways, in different places, different people over a long period of time. It has 39 books in what we call the Old Testament. It has 27 books in the New Testament. It answers questions of life. Man has questions, the big questions of life. Who are we? Where did we come from? Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? Where are we going? What happens after death? All of these questions are answered within the Bible. It's a unique book. It is the book, as we refer to it many times. The Bible tells a complete picture. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. Some people, you would think if it was constructed by man to try to be influential upon the world, it would try to maybe sugarcoat some of the bad aspects, but the Bible never does it. The Bible talks about the people in the Scripture, and it shows their warts, their imperfections, their sin. David, who wrote much of the Psalms, we realize was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Doesn't try to hide that fact. You can go over all the people of the Scripture. The disciples, who were the foundation of the church, they all scattered. They all ran. Peter denied the Lord. I mean, the stories that are told, they're not just picked. It just tells the story of everything. People are betrayed with all of their weaknesses. Gives us a clear Scripture. Some people think, well, the Bible has contradictions. You'll hear that all the time. Well, the Bible contradicts itself. Does it? I always like to ask someone, because most people that say that, they've never studied the Bible. They've heard that statement. And so I like to say to them, well, tell me where it is. Give me a contradiction in the Bible. Now, there are places in the Bible that are difficult sometimes to understand and put together. But a lot of them are not really contradictions. An example, one of the renditions of the gospel say that when they went to the tomb, that there were two angels there. Another gospel says that there was one angel. Well, then that's a contradiction. Well, is it? If there was two angels, isn't there one angel? There was one angel that spoke. It doesn't say that there was only one angel. But in one rendition, it talks about an angel. And it talks about that angel that spoke. In another rendition, it says that there were two angels and one of the angels spoke. Is it really a contradiction, or is it just speaking about it? Other places they'll say, well, you know, it said that he was in this area, and then another portion will say it was a different area. But when you go and look at it, the second area that's different was the region. It's like saying he went to Paris or he went to France. Well, the thing is, they went to Paris, they did go to France, and if you went to, you know, it. When you talk about contradictions, many of them are along that line. There's so many aspects, and I can't go into the depths of it, but there are plenty of resources and that you can, anytime when someone says, well, that's a contradiction, you need to look a little closer at it before you quickly jump and say, yes, it does. I found many times that what contradictions are not so much contradictions, but the complexity of life. In fact, it's not a contradiction. The Bible itself presents it that way. Here's an example. In Proverbs 26:4, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. So don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. But the very next verse, verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Well, there's a contradiction. One verse says, you answer a fool, and the other one says, no, you don't answer the fool. But is it really a contradiction, or is it just showing the complexity of life as it says here? In one case, you need to sense, you know, this person, I need to answer them, because he's just mistaken, and he's going to be wise in his own eyes, you know, if I don't. But another case, if you answer them, and this guy is argumentative, and he's just going to get back and forth with you, and you're going to get into it, says don't answer him, because he's, you know, you're just going to be like him. You're going to go down to his level. It's not a contradiction. The verses are put back to back here just to show us that there's different aspects and ideas and ways to look at things. Just like looking at a coin. You see one side, you look at the other side, you'd say, well, it's a contradiction. No, you're just looking at a different aspect of it. And many times in the scripture, that's how it is when people say there's contradiction. But when you really look at it, you just realize, no, the Bible is true. It's actually showing how life is complex and that its truth is being spoken to the different aspects. I could go on and on with this kind of thing. Here's one, though, that a lot of people bring up. Well, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is harsh and he's vengeful. The God of the New Testament is forgiving and kind and loving. Yes, that's exactly true. But does it mean that the God of the Old Testament wasn't loving and kind? No. It just shows that before Christ came, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Christ. Many times as Christians, we forget the God of the Old Testament, that sin will be judged, that there is a punishment upon sin that is unrelenting. And God hates sin. Every sin is going to be judged. That God of the Old Testament is the God that we serve. We need to fear the Lord, it says.